Son was made known by the message of an angel, made by his passion and cross. He brought the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you know, our two classes on Sundays during the semester are in sequence on the priesthood and comparative religion. I've distributed copies of the book, which I think I told you will be published shortly, The Prophet of the Priesthood, namely Father Gerald Fitzgerald, the founder of two communities, of the Service of the Paraclete and the Handmaids of the Precious Blood. The Mother General of the Handmaids, remember, spoke to you briefly last class. And this is chapter 2, in which, and of course, this is not purloined, this is your teacher's manuscript. So, I quoted extensively from the Father Gerald. As I think I told you, Father Gerald's spirituality was to help priests be priestly priests, living lives of sacrifice. Our next class will begin on Roman Catholicism, which is chapter 13 of your textbook in comparative religion. And the notes, I hope you'll be able to, if not read, at least decipher. It's my own handwriting, for which as a child, my first year of grammar school, I was spanked by the sisters for my poor handwriting. While writing for class, I was very careful to write legibly. However, over the years, my writing has not improved. I will, however, decipher with you the meaning of the three pages that I've distributed for the next class. What I will do is just read a sentence or two as we go along. I think I told you, Father Gerald Fitzgerald, whom I've never met in this world, looking forward to meeting him in heaven. But long before I began working for the Handmaids of the Precious Blood, I have been deeply influenced by the spirituality of the saintly priest. There are two manuscripts that I've written on Father Gerald. This one, which is to be published shortly, called A Prophet of the Priesthood, and the other, which is more biographical, which will be published, I trust, in the near future. What I have in this chapter is the unqualified teaching of the Catholic Church. What is a priest? However, the ideas contained in this chapter, drawn mainly from the writings of Father Gerald Fitzgerald, with some interweaving of my own. They are the ideas of a priest way back in the 50s and 60s, foresaw what was going to happen in the Catholic Church. And he realized, and we should all realize it, the heart of the crisis in the Catholic Church in our century, the most serious. I repeat that superlative, the most serious in the history of Christianity, is in essence a crisis of faith, and within the faith, a crisis of faith in the priesthood. There would never have been a Martin Luther, never have been a Protestantism, except Martin Luther, a priest for 15 years, lost his faith in his own priesthood. And if, and please God, in our own country, the Catholic Church will be restored not just to its condition before the Revolution, but stronger than ever, only because faith in the priesthood has been restored. This is a crisis in the Catholic Church. We begin, therefore, just read a sentence here and there, and then comment on a subject which, needless to say, fills a library. Tens of thousands of books written over the centuries on the priesthood. It is important to grasp Father Jowell's great love and concern for the priesthood. Let it be something of his understanding of what a priest is. During his lifetime, he did things that others misunderstood. He traveled thousands of miles to distant countries and across the United States many times, always in the interest of the priesthood. He literally exhausted himself in urging bishops to support his efforts for Christ's anointed ones. And the pursuit of his vision, he allowed himself to die estranged from the Via Coeli. That's the name of the mother house of both the servants of the Paraclete, which is the name of the men's community, and of the sisters, which Mother General, Mother John Paul, spoke to us. They too have their mother house in Jemez Springs, New Mexico, and the place named, needed to say, by Father Gerald, Via Coeli, the way of heaven, Via Coeli. He was estranged from his own community. Estranged, do I say, he was evicted, the founder of the community. Evicted from his own community. He died of a broken heart not long after his eviction from the community which he founded. And I would never have said this, but I think I know I'm being taped, but I will. In the current issue of The Wanderer, front page, central article, is the crisis to which the servants of the Paraclete are going. A grave crisis which the Holy See has entered and has appointed His Eminence Cardinal Francis George of Chicago as the one to look into the crisis and with God's grace hopefully resolve it. That is why Mother John Paul and I met with Cardinal Francis George this past Wednesday in Chicago. I had two meetings with the Cardinal. First one was in the interest of the women's branch founded by Father Gerald, and the second meeting was for the promotion of Eucharistic education throughout the nation. Cardinal George is 100% behind this national, shall I call it, crusade of Eucharistic education. Altogether, I spent over 3 hours in meeting with Cardinal George last Wednesday. All his labors, that's Father Joel's, make sense only on the premise that a priest is something unique. In fact, so unique that he required the incarnation of the Son of God to make it possible. As we know, Jesus Christ has three main titles: priest, prophet, and king. In other words, the Messiah fulfilled. Oh, the priesthood of the old law. Jesus, the Messiah, fulfilled all the prophecies of all the prophets of the Old Testament. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Baruch. Jesus Christ is the priest, the prophet, and then, with resounding emphasis, the king, the ruler of the universe. Of course, as he told Pilate, remember, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, my kingdom belongs, it begins in this world, and my kingdom is not for this world. My kingdom is for the world that will never end. However, Jesus Christ is first, and dare I say mainly, the priest. And I trust some of you would remember what are the four terms belong to the definition of sacrifice. Who remembers? First word, voluntary. Secondly,
surrender.
Thirdly,
something
of something precious to God. God became man. That's why he became man. The first and main reason was that he might be a priest. Indeed, the priest. And the definition of the priesthood, and hear it, in every language, in every religion of the world, from the dawn of history, a priest is the one who offers sacrifice. But when God became man, the sacrifice that he offered, and notice, God is God, could not offer sacrifice. God is God, that would be blasphemy. God is God, cannot surrender anything. That's why God became man. He became man mainly to sacrifice not what, but whom? Himself. And as we've just heard, the first crucial word in the definition of sacrifice is voluntary. The main reason why God became man was to assume a human will and a human free will. He might voluntarily surrender the most precious thing that he had, which was what? Himself. And with himself, what? Offered his human will to the will of his Heavenly Father. In theology, in teaching priests, we tell them that at the heart of sacrifice is surrender. You give in. You give up. And God became man to give up his human will to his Heavenly Father. And the one statement of Christ that synthesizes the whole of Christianity was spoken by Jesus as he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, foreseeing what would be done to him, foreseeing they would be scourged, crowned with thorns, nailed to the cross, foreseeing that in spite of his sacrifice of himself on Calvary, so many, because he foresaw the whole future of the human race, so many would sadly not surrender their wills as he, as man, was surrendering his will. He foresaw not just his own passion and agonizing death. He foresaw the infidelity, foresaw the stubborn pride, foresaw the criminal injustice, and he shed blood, sweating blood, by the forevision. That's when Jesus said one of the most important statements of Christianity. He spoke as a man to his Heavenly Father as God. If it is possible, let this chalice pass from me. But the most important adversity phrase in all of history, but not my will, not my human will, but thy divine will be done. And that, my friends, is what our life here on earth is all about. That's all our life here on earth is about. Keep telling God, and in greater or less measure, we've all suffered. Suffer, do I say, our suffering. And we shall be only as happy in our pain, this is infallible teaching. We are to be happy in carrying our cross. And we'll be only as happy as we tell God what Jesus told His Heavenly Father in the Garden of Olives. Not my human will, but Thy divine will be done. And that is why God became man, to surrender His human will to the divine will of His Father. And hear it. We better know what we are talking about. One reason of all subjects to speak on, the priesthood. Because all of us are to be united with Jesus, the great High Priest. He offering His sacrifice and we offering ours. We are to be, and this is our faith, a priestly people. And we're only as priestly as our lives, like that of Jesus Christ, our lives of self-surrender, lives of sacrifice, of giving up what is so precious to us. What is most precious to us? What else? Except our own. Oh, what a mild adjective. Our own soul. Sweet. Very sweet will. The joy we should have on earth is the joy of surrendering our wills to the will of God by being priestly people. So I've said I'm now counting not just the years, but the days of my priesthood. 50 years and 278 days. You'll be only as happy as we surrender, let go of our wills to the will of God. Everyone else is unhappy in the measure that he or she is not thus surrendering their wills to the mysterious, demanding, and what shall I say? Painful, but enjoyable will of God. There is no joy on earth without pain. Please, don't you dare forget that. Ten years after his death, in a conference he gave shortly before Christmas to the Hammers of the Precious Blood, he opened his heart on what to his mind the Catholic priesthood means. Most of this present chapter. And the book will be published, I think, at least by the end of May. And the price, I'm assured, will be very low to ensure a widespread circulation. And every bishop of the United States will receive, well, a copy. And no charge to His Excellency. Our priests need to understand what their priesthood means, how bishops need to understand this, how we, all of us, need to understand what being a priest means. It means voluntary surrender of something precious to God. The author of these pages will step aside to allow Father Gerald to pour out his soul. What makes the conference, which of course I used to write this chapter, what makes it so memorable is it was given to religious women, specially dedicated to serve Christ's priests. That it should show a keen awareness of the noble vocation to marriage and rearing a family. It explains why Gerald, as I called him, was so passionately insistent on priests being holy priests. See how great was their calling and how important their role in the economy of salvation. That is why he was evicted by his own members from the community which he founded, because he told the servants of the Paraclete, all priests, how they were to be holy. And because he founded the men's branch to help priests who are in trouble. Among the problems that priests had, that's back in the 50s and 60s, was alcohol. Father Gerald's rule said, every servant of the Paraclete must vow himself to total abstinence from alcoholic beverages. Those who evicted their founder said, no, that's too much. We want to drink. Now we'll read, and again, at the pace I'm going, it'll probably cover about 2 pages in 1 hour. I will go on faster. Now we're quoting Father Gerald. And one speaks of the priesthood. One is looking on something that is vast, like the ocean, or like a mountain range. And by the way, the foundation of both communities, both the service of the Paraclete and the handmaids of the precious blood, is 7,000 feet high in the Rocky Mountains, and where both mother houses are located. Pardon me, where the mother house of the handmaids is still located. The mother house of the Paracletes is now in Rome. Towering above a level land in what is called the canyon are Rocky Mountain peaks, 1,000 more feet high, all around you. There are many roads leading into a mountain, many harbors that border on the sea. So I'm going to take as a sort of way of tying it in a quotation that is in one of the chapels here in the canyon. It's called Canyon. Something said some years ago, what I said was this, and this is the motto: the priesthood is God's greatest gift to man. Its faithful fulfillment is man's greatest gift to God. And that, my friends, applies to all of us. I repeat, it applies to all of us. Christ instituted the priesthood as a sacrament in order to provide us with the grace we need. Grace, do I say? Oceans of grace to live priestly lives. Lives of surrendering ourselves, especially our most precious possession, which is our will, to God. And we are all a priestly people. But Christ instituted the sacrament of the priesthood mainly to give us the light and strength we need to live lives of self-surrender. That is why Jesus Christ, on the night before he died, instituted, hear it, two sacraments. He instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist and instituted the sacrament of the priesthood to make the Eucharist possible. The faithful fulfillment of our self-sacrifice to the will of God is our greatest gift to God. Greatest gift is the one gift which underlies everything else we can do for God. That's why the most important question in our lives: Why do we have a free will? And it is free. We can choose to do with His will how well we know what we want. Why do we have a free will to give back to God what God has so generously given us? To surrender our wills. And God became man, hear it. And please don't forget, God became man precisely for this reason: out of love for us, to surrender the most precious gift that God become man possessed. He sacrificed His will as a man to His Heavenly Father, and by His sacrifice we were redeemed. Pardon me. By His sacrifice on Calvary, we received the grace to be redeemed. The grace to do what? The grace to surrender our wills to His. As He, our God, became man, to not just teach us, but to merit, gain, earn for us that grace without which we could not surrender our wills to the mysterious and demanding will of God. Father Joel continues, why do we make that little distinction? Because the priesthood is never seen in the abstract. Even if Christ were visibly here, the great high priest would not be an abstraction. It would be Christ, the high priest. We don't see the priesthood. It doesn't walk around except as it is specified and integrated in the souls of men. When you treat of the priesthood in the abstract, you have this sublimity. But when that sublimity is translated into this actuality of daily living, it is identified with a human being, with a man, according to the various reactions of his soul to the will and providence of God, fills the part and is identified with the priesthood. I didn't plan to say it, but I was in Missouri, got there Friday late because the planes were not leaving Detroit with the bad weather. Finally, 70 miles from the St. Louis airport, we just drove and drove. I saw more farmland over 70 miles. Finally reached a town already pretty late at night. Bowling Green, Missouri. Anybody ever hear about it? I never did until I saw the signs. And then, gave lectures during the day yesterday, then met with the leaders who sponsored the program. Some 400 people came from distant places. Then I left the St. Louis airport after 9 o'clock last night and, reached my residence at 12:10 this morning. I still had work to do. But I told our Lord, if I'm to preach on the priesthood, I better live the priesthood myself. In other words, the priesthood is the sacrament of total sacrifice. And total sacrifice in two ways. It is the priests of the Catholic Church, as our faith tells us, priests of the Roman Catholic Church, when they bend over a piece of bread, pronounce the words, "This is my body." Then over a chalice of wine, "This is a chalice," the correct translation, "of my blood." Christ is really, truly offering himself no less than he offered himself on Calvary in every Mass. Why? Because he is the same identical Jesus Christ. He can no longer die because he is now in a glorified body. But he has a will. It is the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. In every Mass, Jesus Christ wants to, wills to offer himself to his Heavenly Father. On Calvary, he gained the graces through the sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. He communicates these graces to us. And do we ever need, do I ever need, the only child of a widowed mother? I could write a book on self-will. I know what it means. I've shared this with some of you, I'm sure, maybe even more than once. 3 months in the Jesuit novitiate, called in by my novice master, told to sit down and asked, you know, what's wrong with you? So I figured everybody has some faults. I must have some too. Fellow novices tell me they find you insufferable. They cannot stand you. You are an intellectual bully. Remember? 30 days to show some slight sign of humility. Won't ask you, I'll ask you fellow novices. Oh, how humble I was for 30 days. And back to the novice master. He smiled. That's why I'm still a Jesuit and unworthily a Catholic priest. First, let us take the original half of the sentence. A priesthood is God's greatest gift to man. And then, these of course, oh no, Father Gerald again. There are two great basic purposes that God has revealed in creation and redemption. In the divine mind, they come into the divine unity with the glory of God, the fundamental purpose. But by our Catholicism, we believe God, as a supreme being, could be fruitful. As the God he is, in the Son and in the Spirit, that is the fruitfulness of God within his own divine nature. Hear it. Strange language. The Holy Spirit is the offspring of God the Father and God the Son. Ever hear that before? Strange language, but good theology. The infinite love, a Father and Son. He does not use the verb produces, but gives. The Holy Spirit . This is a very wonderful truth and a sort of satisfying that God is not lonely. Within the divine nature there is not only a Father but a Son who loves him and a Spirit who is a bond of love, sort of making a perfect setup. I will not read it all. One reason, make copies of this so that whatever I say about, well, what is a priest? You'll be able to read, and I recommend reflect on the words of a great priest. Let's turn to the second paragraph on page 23. So you have the married state as a vocation, which is a sublime and holy thing. God has honored man with the dignity of co-creationism, with himself, of course, in our Catholic philosophy of truth, serving as he did in fashioning the slime of the earth by created forms, yet he breathes into it a living soul. Father and Mother gave us bodily existence. By the way, every so often I would insert a bracket in Father Gerald's quotations. Father Gerald was a very wise man. He was not a theologian. So I thought, I'm sure in heaven he does not mind my providing, well, a word here and there. He was bodily existence, but God himself creates the soul of man. That's the normal vocation of life to which the vast majority of men and women are called, to participate in the tremendous and holy and joyous work of creating the throb of love that was in the bosom of God from all eternity. As Father Gerald keeps repeating, what God did when he created the human race was to create, remember, for 5 days, God created the rest of the universe. Finally, he created man